The Tights and Fights podcast, for over 6 years, a revolutionary force in sports and entertainment.
Sorry, I'm not home right now, talking about wrestling, so leave a message and I'll call you back. Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm the Brawl for Hal, Hal Lublin, and I'm joined today by my fellow member of the Nation of Conversation, the Dan Split, Danielle Radford.
I need you to do that song again.
Sorry, I'm not home right now, talking about wrestling, so leave a message and I'll call you back.
God, that's just so good. Thank you.
Let me go hook up my hollow body electric and I'll start. Make it squeal. Lindsay is feeling better, but she is not here with us today. This is an excused absence. She's fine in case you were concerned. We know people care about us very deeply, at least two of you. Now, we had a feeling this was going to be coming down the pike when WWE finalized their merger with UFC under TKO. An unfortunate string of people were let go from WWE last week, not only on the corporate side, the people who are actually working there, part of the day-to-day operation of the company, but also talent as well. So, sort of across the...
You've seen me adjust my bangs a million times on this. Hold on. We've been doing this since 2016.
Let me just fix my cap real quick.
I'm so sorry.
It's so good.
This since 2016. This isn't the first time you've watched me adjust my bangs.
No, but the fork brings it to a whole other level.
I can't find... Look,
it's fine.
My dingle hopper is my only option. And
hopper don't want none unless you got bangs.
How about that? You can do side bangs or sit-ups. But please, Julian, don't lose that gut. Look, it was fine when Julian didn't record us and be like, oh, well, eventually we'll put you up on
tout.
But now he does, so I have to be pretty. And so occasionally if I can't find... I have to use my dingle hopper. I apologize.
That's fine. Any port in a storm. There's no apology for being... Any fork in a storm. So here's some of the people who were released. I'll give you a list. We have Dolph Ziggler, Mustafa Ali, Shelton Benjamin. Riddle was let go separately afterwards. It was not part of those cuts. I think they finally figured out, hey, this guy is more of a liability than an asset. Because he's got too much going on. That is too bad. Emma's gone. Rick Boogs. Top Dollar. Dana Brooke. Dabo Kato. Maximum Male Models. And Quincy Elliott, along with a few others from NXT as well. Now, Ziggler, this is what I've heard about Ziggler, is that he wanted to leave a couple years ago and they convinced him to extend his contract. So it wasn't like... You know, they finally let him go, is my understanding. I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, and a lot of this will be stuff that, like, we don't know. But I will say, Dolph Ziggler, look, we clown and we make jokety jokes on this podcast. That's what we do. And I'll never apologize. I'll make jokes about your faves. I'll make jokes about people I know. And I'll be wrong often. But what I do know is that, like, Dolph Ziggler has always been someone who is fucking super fucking talented. Always someone who has been respected in the locker rooms. Dolph Ziggler is one of those dudes, and we've said it a million times, where, like, no matter what is happening, you can slot him in any slot. And he had a interview where he said the same thing I'm saying now. You can put that man in any place, and he is going to rock it, and it's going to be amazing. So... Yeah. No matter what, if Dolph Ziggler decides he wants to continue doing wrestling, he's going to do a great job. If he decides he wants to do something outside of wrestling, he is going to do great. Mustafa Ali is, I think, a missed opportunity for everyone. But what I'm going to do is, because I could go through every one of them and describe why my personal opinion says they should or should not do what they should or should not do. What I'm going to go ahead and say is Rick Boogs chose a route. What do you feel about that route?
I think it's real hard. I get it. You referred to, of course, of him coming out and saying, when Vince McMahon lost control of the company, it killed my career. I think the fact is, injuries suck. He got over.
Yeah.
But I don't remember ever thinking, like, there are people where when they're gone for a time, and I think wrestling, this is one of the things about wrestling in general, is someone can be gone, like top of the card gone.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually you get to a point where you get used to them not being there. Like Randy Orton got used to him not being there. He's a top of card guy even when he's in the middle of the card. But, you know, you go, oh, he's gone. It's a shame from an in-ring and roster perspective because he's very good. But also now there's room for other people to move up. Then there are people where I don't even think there's a period where you go, you know, it's a shame that he got injured, but I wasn't like, I really wanted to see where they were going with Rick Boogs. I think he was a pop, and he came out and gave a good pop. He wasn't terrible in the ring. I don't know that I ever saw anything from him as a fan, just as a fan, where I was like, this will be severely missed. I think he'll be fine. He can have a career wherever he wants to go. Very talented
and
musician.
I hope he does.
I think that's cool.
Literally, like, you have to be kind of a huge human piece of shit for me to be like, fuck you, never work again. I always want people to work. But I will say, like, this, there is, like, a route that Boogs is going on where I'm like, he's trying to go on this, like, media tour of disgruntled employee who was a big badass, deserves more, and didn't get it. And, like, honey, I'm not gonna say anything bad or untoward about what he does for a living. I'm gonna say that, like, when those things get big, it's because it's people at the top of the card. And I don't know where Rick Boogs. Oh god, I'm sorry. Oh man, that's shitty. I don't Rick know Boogs. Where Rick would have ended up ultimately on the card. What I do know is that, like, that strategy, that PR strategy, which it is a PR strategy, not a wrestling strategy, it's PR. It doesn't work when you're someone who was let go at his level.
And I'm sure it's scary when you're hurt, especially when you're in that position that he was in, that, like, there's no big return planned for you. Like, Big E, should he ever come back? And I feel like as time goes by, I don't want him to, because I want him to live a long, happy life. They would put a plan in place for that. There would be a huge plan. When somebody important gets injured, there's a plan when they come back. I feel like he came back and it was just week after week of, we don't have anything for you. And frankly, like, of the guys who play guitar that got cut, Elias probably was more over and had more promise. And again, like, sometimes the injury bug gets you. You're better off going somewhere else. I mean, I don't think he's permanently burned any bridges or anything. He can say whatever he wants, but, like, you know, go work somewhere else. Go work somewhere else. You're done here for now.
If he puts in the work and he's good, he'll be fine. If he doesn't, he won't be. And that's all it is.
Look, you can be a dude who never comes back, or you can be a Drew McIntyre. Like, prove him wrong.
That's it.
That's what it comes down to. Drew McIntyre was pissed. He talked shit, but he went out.
And we'll talk more about those things later.
Mm. We're going to talk more about that, but he channeled those things into improving every aspect of what he did. He turned that into, he's like, all right, how am I feeling like any good performer would? No matter what type of performance you do, if it's dance, if it's visual art, if it's graphic art, if it's acting, music, whatever. You take what you're feeling and you channel that into something that can be channeled.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do superior work because of it. And I don't know, you know.
And then give him a sword.
That's right. They give him a sword. Who knows what his ceiling is? But I hope he gets to find out. Like, best of luck.
I hope everyone does. I want everyone to not everyone. I hope everyone who isn't a piece of shit gets to work doing their chosen career forever.
Yes. Now, I want to talk a little bit about SmackDown. Fastlane's coming up, and we were supposed to get John Cena and AJ Styles versus Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa. They beat down AJ Styles, take him out of the equation. Now, what was supposed to happen was LA Knight was supposed to be the reveal. He factored in majorly to that show, but he tested positive for COVID, so he could not come to the show. I don't know if he will be cleared in time for Fastlane. You hope he will, because he is the obvious choice, of course, to be the tag team partner, because he started sort of mixing it up with the Bloodline a little bit. It's a big spot for him, so hopefully that happens. We also have Seth Rollins and Shinsuke Nakamura, who are going to wrestle again, this time in a last man standing match. Do you think, and they're really pushing, by the way, hold on. Raw's on Monday night, and I think it was Lindsay. Was it Lindsay or was it you that sent a text? It was like, does Seth seem like he's on a different show than everybody?
That was Lindsay.
Yeah.
That was Kelk. Yep.
And then I watched, I was on a delay. And when
I was like, I got to go back and look because yeah. Lindsay.
He is.
Yeah, Lindsay Elk is super fucking right.
And I also think the back thing is like almost a little too far because he's going to the point of like, this may be the last match I ever wrestle. And it, like, I feel like when they get too far into that, for me personally, I'm like, oh, now you're taking me out of it. I don't want to watch you. I know I'm going to watch you win.
The reason for me it takes me out of it is like, okay, well, if you don't retire, then what the fuck are we doing here? If your whole thing is, oh, well, my back hurt and I can't do this. I'm like, my back hurts. I can't do a bunch of stuff. My knee hurts. I can't do this. My knee hurts. I can't do a bunch of stuff. My neck hurts. I can't do this. Oh, my God. Necks. What is one to do? And so then when suddenly they're like, oh, well, I superhero like just can do all of the stuff now that my injured body parts I claimed were not able to do. It's like, okay, well, when you put in real world limitations, maybe don't press so hard on the like real world stuff and then be like, oh, it turned out no one needs a neck. Nigga, what are you talking about? We all need necks. What are you talking? Like, oh, it turns out no one has ever needed a knee. No, we all need a knee. Where are you getting the knee genes from? You know what I mean?
Yes. Before we get out of this segment, how do you think, because I'm obviously still not watching, how do you think that MJF is doing as champion right now? Or are you aware?
No matter what is happening, most of the time, MJF is doing a fucking fantastic job. Like, I love what they're doing. I will always love Better Than You, Baby. I hope the best for Adam Cole. I hope he does well. There are a lot of things about AEW that I just super love. Like, I love everything happening with Toni Storm right now. Recently, I think it was like on Collision, their women's match did numbers because it turns out when you book talented people to do talented things, you get talented stuff. So it's, I think of the three of us, I am definitely the most like, I just want to see what happens, man. And right now I'm like, I feel good about it. I'm weirdly into what's going to happen with Wrestle Dream. I don't know who's going to show up. I think everyone's assuming it's Edge. Some people are assuming it's Mercedes. I don't know what this is going to be. What I do know is that, and this will go into, I think, our next segment, I'm really excited for the fact that, like, there are people that this company has propped up. And that's dope.
Well, if you have any thoughts on what we have talked about so far, you can stay part of the conversation with Tights and Fights on all of our social media channels, including Blue Sky. Links are in the show notes. When we come back, the stars who have jumped ship to and from WWE. That's up next on Tights and Fights. Danielle, you know what's better than dice?
What's that, Hal?
Several sets of dice of all sorts of colors, numbers, and styles, of course.
That sounds like such a good time to me.
And what's even better than different types of dice?
Literally nothing. Like, tell me.
Having all those dice included as part of Greenleaf Geek's adventure boxes, along with tons of other fun items.
Okay, gang, you know the way to my heart. As some listeners know, I also do a lot of TTRPG playing for both fun and for my other work. And that means I know a lot about a quality set of dice when I see them. And I love when them dice clickety-click and clackety-clack. I got to do them in Kolok. You can do them in other stories. Thank you for providing us with amazing stories with amazing dice.
And not only are the dice great, but Greenleaf Geek has released their brand new adventure calendars that are available right now. Choose from 3 tiers that include at least 4 sets of dice, plus lots of illustrated one-shots, coloring pages, and tons of other surprises to keep you entertained all month long. But remember, these calendars are only available until they sell out, and that means when they're gone, they gone.
Calendars, and I cannot wait to get one of these for the holiday era.
Are you in your holiday era right now?
I'm in my holiday era. I'm just holidaying. And Tights and Fights listeners get a special discount code. You can visit greenleafgeek.com and use the coupon code Tights for $5 off any advent your calendar. God, that is so fucking fun to say. That's greenleafgeek.com and the coupon code TIGHTS! Exclamation point.
They've got a podcast. Tights and Fights is the name.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Loveland and I'm joined today by
Danielle Radford.
Now it's time to give one corner of the wrestling world some extra attention. This is our main event.
Let's get ready to
rumble. Anal bleeding.
Whoa! Get a life, kid.
Rhymes with shit.
Holy shit.
WWE.com.
I love cake.
I hate nuts.
Look at this face.
And a hard fought victory.
Live, Hal.
What?
Wrestling is full of people who jumped ship from the indies or other companies to WWE. And every once in a while, WWE likes to pound their corporate chest that they got the hottest free agent in the business to make the jump. This is our topic of conversation because it was announced this week all over the place that WWE has signed Jade Cargill, who's officially arrived at the Performance Center. It looks like they have high hopes for her, and she's already doing interviews. They're putting her in front of media. I've read. Yeah, I'm on the phone with all the people backstage. You know me. I've heard.
How?
Via reading with my eyes.
Breaking news. Yeah. How?
Sorry, breaking news. My understanding is that part of the frustration that we all have is like, hey, she didn't get used enough in AEW. The counter to that is, hey, she didn't know much about the business. She's coming in and learning. So a lot of that was meant to protect her. You don't want her to go too high too fast and crash. The counter argument to that of the WWE side is, hey, you know who else had never wrestled a lick before she signed with us? Bianca Belair. Now look. So people who are natural athletes are going to take to it well. She's already got all the X Factor stuff.
I went to an arts college, like an arts conservatory. So I didn't go to a black college or a college where I would have been exposed to the Divine Nine. But my understanding of the Divine Nine, and I will not explain it because I do not know it. I'm not the right person to do so. Maybe, you know, our producer might want to talk about it because he's not Divine Nine, but he's also someone who has been in a frat. They are both AKAs. They are both sorors, which is in the black community, whoo, means a lot. I want a soror off. I just heard Julian's mic turn on. Make your mic get nice. I just heard it.
I don't know if anybody knows anything about the Divine Nines, but they all have a fraternity and sorority pair. So technically, Bianca and Jade are both, since they're both AKAs, they're like the pair of what my dad's was. So A-Fi-A. It's usually the ones that have.
Explain it to the whites, Julian. Yeah. They don't know.
Well, because, like, you know, you have, like, regular Greek systems, but, like, the thing about the Divine Nine, the traditionally black fraternities and sororities, is that, and I'm going off of my memories of what my dad told me, so if I get something wrong, I'm sorry. It's almost like they're, like, the little sister sorority and the big brother fraternity, that sort of thing. So what I'm really saying is I really hope that Montez Ford is also an A5A, because that would actually be pretty cool, too.
Oh, my God. Actually, maybe. I don't know. I kind of want to know. Again, I was never able to pledge a black soror because I went to, like, you know, that college. But Jade is someone who trends not only on black wrestle Twitter, which is kind of hard, but on black Twitter. So Jade is up there with, like, Jade's up there with Naomi. Jade's up there with Bianca. Jade's up there with Sasha/Mercedes, of women who their reach and their badassness reaches beyond just wrestle Twitter.
I know that that the wrestlers say, rightly so, like, we're happy when everybody's working. I feel like, as a fan of one side, that you get to look at someone who you go, oh, that she's obviously really talented. Why aren't they doing more with her? Mm. Now she's in a place. She's in the big leagues. Sorry, I'm not saying AEW is the minor leagues, but there is a difference. There is a big difference. It's just still, a lot of it just comes from the company's been around a long time and is a more publicly known company and appeals to a wider range of people. It's just the fact of it. Like, this is her. This is her stepping it up big time. Like, I'm trying to think. There's, like, a difference between making TV and movies in New York and making TVs and movie in Los Angeles. Like, they're both making movies, but one of them is, like, the place where it all happens. And eventually, mm-hmm. people who want to do that in New York come to California, by and large. Because you can't be on Law & Order 900 times as different criminals. Like, at a certain point, you got to find something else going on. So, I'm interested to see what happens. I think we'll start seeing vignettes soon. I wouldn't be surprised if she debuted Survivor Series, because that feels like the place for debuts. I also wouldn't be surprised if they held her back until the Royal Rumble. That would also be a really impressive way for her to come in and set, like, a Royal Rumble record, but you have to keep her. I don't think they're gonna keep her off TV for that long. I don't think they can.
I kind of feel like the reason why they did, because when AJ came in, they did a bunch of, like, here's where AJ is important stuff before they officially announced him. And then he came in during the Rumble D Rums, right? This is one of those ones where I'm almost like, we just want you to know she's coming. We're going to do some work and she's going to be a big deal, but she's not going to show up on Monday. We just want you to know she's a coming. And I'm like, yes, she's coming. I'm very excited.
You know who I think of? And this is way long ago, was Ric Flair. Ric Flair being part of WWF at the time was a huge deal, because that was the number one guy from the other side. Like, Dusty Rhodes was a big deal, but I don't, you know, obviously they didn't do him any favors with the polka dots
they
and stuff.
Didn't.
It almost felt like a look what I've done with your champion. Yeah. But Ric Flair was treated as important immediately. World title, the feud with Randy Savage. Like, he was a big deal guy. And it was such a huge deal to have him there. Like, it almost didn't compute to see it as a wrestling fan at that time.
Yeah. And there were a few, especially, like, a bunch of ECW dudes that came over that were made a big deal, like, kind of before they came. But that was a huge, huge one.
Yeah. The return of Cody Rhodes obviously was a big deal as Massive. Well. But that feels more like a return.
Well, yeah, and also good for Cody Rhodes. Now him and Jade get to sit and make sure that don't do that joke, Danielle.
That racism has ended?
It has. You know, when Brock, that this was different, but Brock left and then came back and they made a big deal. They make a big deal out of people who leave and come back if those people have obviously made great leaps and bounds.
Yep. Goldberg was a huge deal when they brought him over. There are a lot of guys from WCW where either their return or their outright
was
showing
huge.
Up.
Huge.
Taz was big. I feel like he was undercard for a while. Like, he never quite
He should have been bigger. I agree.
Well, part of that is like he was too short, and not by my standards, but by Vince likes big people. The fact that Jericho got a turn at the title at all,
massive,
was a big deal. The dude is the same height as me, so
you're not short.
But also, like I'm not short, but I'm 6 foot. I'm like not tall.
Oh either. Well, you're not a person.
In a wrestling locker room, I am not tall at all, and I can attest to that, having been backstage at a wrestling event. I am not tall, not at all. I'm not small, not tall. Then there are people, I'll give you two, a tale of two NXT signees. One is Kevin Owens, who comes in as instantly important, not only in NXT, but then goes on that monster run in WWE, immediately feuding with John Cena.
Yes.
Like, that's a guy they gave the keys to the Porsche almost immediately, and he drove it very well.
I have no plan B. This is why this has to work. My name's Kevin Owens. I will fight anyone and everyone because that's what I do best.
Then you have Kenta, who shows up, gives an entire speech on NXT about how he's going to take the name Hideo Itami. He gets injured almost immediately. He's gone for, I think, a year.
I have so many things to say about Kenta. It's so fucked up.
It's stalled out.
Yeah.
We never got to see what he would have been.
Yep.
As a tribute to one of my heroes, I will be known as Hideo Itami.
I almost forget that he was ever a part of the WWE machine, which maybe is to his benefit.
The Kenta stuff makes me, like, when I think about it, it makes me, like, he got so robbed. He got robbed of all of his stuff.
Let's talk about some of the people who have left over the years. Maybe the best example is the real, like, powder keg moment of the Monday Night Wars, which is Rick Rude appearing on Raw, which is pre-taped, and in the same night appearing on Nitro, which was live. That was he's the only person to have appeared on both shows in one night separately. I know Shane was on Raw from Nitro, but that doesn't count. There was on one show, then moved over to the other show. It already signed.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's the same thing, but I think a lot of the, like, when they would do recently in the recent era, these moments where they would have these fantastic takeovers or other spots in NXT, and it would be like, oh, Kana's here. Oh, look, it's Beer Money. It's Robert Roode or whatever, like, you know, and I think that those were also attempts at getting that viral moment.
I remember how weird it was seeing Hogan and Savage in another company, obviously. But also, it felt like Nash and Razor Ramon, Scott Hall, were there for, like, they burned so brightly, but for such a short period of time. And then all of a sudden, they were top guys, and then all of a sudden, there they are on WCW, and they're bigger than they probably ever would have been in WWE. They were legit. I think WCW was a much more legit competitor.
I 100% will listen, and you might be right and I might be wrong. For me, my idea is that, like, I don't know, man. I think that it is nostalgia bias. I think when we look back at all of that stuff, it is looking back. I think that if a bunch of people threw money at TNA, I think, like, during our childhood, we would have felt the same way. But also, I will always acknowledge I could be wrong because I know I've never drawn a dime.
Here's the where I will disagree with you. And I'm not saying it. I have no memory of WCW being good to me at all. But they beat WWE's ass in the ratings for over a year.
True story.
That is, and at a time where they were seen as direct competition. I don't think that AEW is seen as direct competition in that same way. So they were hugely successful in that way. And that put them there. And the way I would say it, and Julian, I'll let you chime in. I would say that they were driving faster but with a smaller tank. So eventually they ran out of fuel and they didn't have anything anymore. And WWE just like, all right, we're going to go past you. Now we see. We adjusted maybe a little too late, but we adjusted. Julian, do you think that's fair? Fair assessment?
I think so. Absolutely. I will just
say, hold on. This muscle shirt, what's going on there?
It's like, it was an extremely tiring day, guys. You don't just not know how tired I was. So it was like button-up's gone. but I could say this much about WCW. I do agree that I think a lot of it doesn't hold up. I think you could also say a lot about that. A lot of WWF stuff doesn't hold up from that era either, aside from like some of the biggest stuff. But what I will say that like, and it's something that I've been kind of disappointed by people thinking whenever I hear them compare AEW to WCW situation, is that when people like, it wasn't a head to head situation where AEW was going against the third brand with the C team on NXT, who I love. I love all those people on NXT, but as far as star wise, there's no comparing the Wednesday night war to the Monday night war. That was like legitimately they were eating WWE's lunch every single Monday.
Yep.
And I think that that's like, that's really freaking impressive considering the lead that WWE had at the time. It was just, it was unprecedented for this other company to say, we're going to take all the people that used to be with you, we're going to turn them into even bigger stars, and then we're going to continuously have, when people are presented with the choice, they're going to choose us.
Yeah.
That is insane that that happened at all.
Yeah, they were making headlines. I mean, it's hard to appreciate that because now we look at it through the WWE lens of all that stuff and how like triumphant WWE was. But it was a race for a while and legitimately so. One more question for you, Danielle. Who on the current WWE roster do you think would benefit the most from a jump to AEW? Someone who did not get cut. Just throwing it out there, because I think it's an interesting question.
Honestly, Charlotte.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Charlotte. Ooh. Honestly, Charlotte. I think that Charlotte moving over, I think is the best move for her, honestly. I think she would benefit the most from going over to AEW. And I think AEW would benefit like crazy from having Charlotte over there. If I heard that Charlotte was going over to AEW or anyone, I think that all of us would immediately watch whatever was happening next. It would be fucking fantastic.
Let me pitch this real quick and then I'm going to furlough you until next week. Do you think Charlotte would benefit more from moving to Impact and being the centerpiece of the Knockouts division, which is, as you've said before, like the best women's wrestling division of all of them?
Oh, and I agree 100%. No.
Okay.
No. And I really genuinely, Naomi over at Impact is doing great work. I think Impact does better work with their women's division by going slow and steady. I think that AEW needs someone to come in and kick the fucking doors off.
Yep.
And that is because of the fact that they are a wrestling company where it's like, oh, why don't you bring in the biggest fucking attraction you can? And Charlotte is an attraction. The reason we're all irritated and cranky about her is because they bring her in to shut down everyone else because there's nothing else for her to do. You bring her on AEW, she has a lot to fucking do, and she's Charlotte. Bring her to AEW.
Okay.
Yeah, like one of the biggest shames about AEW's women's division being so shallow as far as high-end talent and draws go is that there's nobody there to like make anybody better. So like Britt gets to the top, who is really going to challenge her for that? It's like, who does she sharpen her sword against, so to speak?
That is a huge fucking part of it. Also, like, just imagine all of a sudden, and even if they do it the way that they did it here, great. Also, I don't know Charlotte. I don't know that lady. We ain't friends. She seems like she don't give a fuck about anything that isn't hanging out with her husband. And I get it, because she's done everything. Guess what she gets to do if she goes to AEW? Hang out with her fucking husband. That's where she should be.
Yeah. They'd make a big deal out of it, for sure.
God, it would kill. Come on, imagine it.
Heard that before. You know, now, we asked the people in the Nation of Conversation what they thought. I'm giving you your out there, Neil.
I'm leaving. I'm going to put a dingle hopper in my hair. Good night.
Go get rest. Good night.
Yeah, please get some sleep, Danielle. Bye.
I'll talk to you guys soon.
Bye.
Bye.
We asked you in the Nation of Conversation for your thoughts about some of the famous entrances and exits in WWE and wrestling in general. Matthew Birdsey brought up one of the biggest ship jumps ever on Blue Sky, which is Bret Hart leaving WWE amid tons of drama to go to WCW. If you want to see a fun and not at all biased account of that story, watch Wrestling with Shadows, the Bret Hart documentary. Directed by Bret Hart. Produced by Bret Hart. Written by Bret Hart. First base, Bret Hart. Second base, Bret Hart.
Best man, Bret Hart.
Best boy, Bret Hart. Key grip, Bret Hart.
Catering by Bret Hart.
Kyle said that when Kurt Angle jumped to TNA/Impact, I missed the show, then stayed up much too late watching the video package, etc. His headbutt to Samoa Joe and pull-apart brawl was one of the clips they rerun over and over for good reason. It was an electric moment. That's right.
That was one of those times where I kind of deluded myself. Oh my gosh, TNA is really going to be something huge, you know? Like it was really cool. And I mean, like the Kurt Angle, Samoa Joe stuff, I think it still holds up. You can go back and just watch that series of matches, not watch any other dumb stuff that was going on in that company at the time. Because it was, my goodness, did they have a main event scene to hold it down for a while.
Yeah, I mean, tons of great talent at that time. Finally, our old friend, Da Mullet on Blue Sky.
Da Mullet.
AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura both showed up and jumped right to the head of the line in 2016/17, which made a big impression on me of their star power. That's true. Like, to a certain extent, Julian, when you sell someone as a star, for an audience, like, I don't know. I'm for someone who's less familiar with everybody's work as I am, when somebody's sold as a star, that helps me get into and believe, like, I don't have to look for what's going on. They're presenting it. Presentation is such a big deal, especially in professional wrestling. And so it goes a long way. Now, it doesn't work all the time, Nathan Jones, but there are guys who come in and they're like, this guy's a big deal. And then you watch and go, oh, they are a big deal. Guy or gal or non-binary pal, whoever they are. How they're sold makes a huge difference.
I just remember Shinsuke, like, was very similar to what happened with Jade, only, like, a little bit less of, like, here's his first day at the PC type thing. It was a lot of, we're going to do, like, a live stream of him signing his contract, and he's going to be, like we're just going to be talking about him for a really long time before, like, oh my gosh, his first match is going to be at this takeover. Can you believe it? And it's, like, I don't know, it's always funny to see the different strategies that they'll employ on, like, okay, this person's going to show up in the Rumble. This person's going to spend a year in NXT. This one's going to, like, we're going to give him a new name before we, like, introduce them to everybody. It's always funny how, like, the different tactics that they'll take to try and make somebody go.
100%. If you've got anything to say about all the stars who have jumped ship to and from WWE, visit us on our social media channels via the links in our show notes. When we come back, we've got some stuff from wrestling we want to share with you. That's up next on Tights and Fights.
This is Lori Kilmartin.
And I'm Jackie Cation, and we have a podcast called The Jackie and Lori Show on Max Fun, and it's very exciting, because what do we talk about?
Comedy.
Stand-up comedy. We both do stand-up comedy and have since the dawn of Christ.
Well, Jackie.
Is that offensive?
It is offensive to me, because you've aged me. we started in the late 80s, and we're still here. You can't kill us.
So go to The Jackie and Lori Show on Max Fun and listen to that.
Jackie and Lori Show. New episodes Monday, only on MaximumFun.org.
Greatest Trek is the podcast for all your modern Star Trek needs. It's funny, informative, and now it's also timely.
That's because every Friday, right after the release of a new episode of Strange New Worlds, Picard, Lower Decks, Discovery, or Prodigy, we bring you a review of that episode.
There's some great new Star Trek coming up, and we're going to cover all of it.
You'll like our show because we're both former video producers, so we bring a lot of insight into the production and filmmaking aspects to these episodes.
And we also have a very refined sense of humor, so we make lots of delightful fart jokes along the way.
So come see why Greatest Trek is one of the most popular television recap podcasts on all of the internet.
Subscribe to Greatest Trek at MaximumFun.org or in the podcast app you're using right now.
They've got a podcast, Tights and Fights is the name.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Loveland, and I'm joined today by
Julian Burrell.
And it's time to share the joy of wrestling with you. This is the 2/3 count.
Watch my 3 count. 1, 2, 3.
Julian, what would you like to put over today?
Oh, that clip always reminds me that I miss R-Truth a lot. I hate that I haven't seen him in forever. Now, my thing to put over. A couple weeks ago, we had what is known as, video game fans will know as a Nintendo Direct, where Nintendo will live stream a series of upcoming games and things to get excited about. I think a lot of it is kind of like shown the power of reaction culture on Twitch and whatnot. But the final game, it's always the one more thing at the end that they expect to get a big reaction and everybody freaking out about, right? And this time they actually got that. They revealed a game, a remake of a game that came out in 2004, I think, for the GameCube called Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door. This game meant a lot to me as a kid. I didn't quite know how much it meant to everybody else until I got older and kind of like started seeing YouTube essays on it, but very fun, very charming RPG. But what does this have to do with wrestling? Well, if you play this game next year, I want you to go at least play it up until you'll play the whole game, but at least play up until chapter 3, I want to say, which is all about Mario and all of his friends going to a city that is in the sky whose primary function is to hold wrestling matches in the and at first, what appears to be the main antagonist is a character by the name of Rock Hawk. Which originally, I think in Japan or maybe like one of the early translations, that character's name was going to be Hawk Hogan before they decided that would be a little bit too on the nose. So great game, great like wrestling story. It's one of my favorite, sometimes we talk a little bit about on the Facebook group about our favorite fictional wrestling characters, and Rock Hawk is definitely one of mine. It's a fantastic game, fantastic little wrestling segment in there that might be my favorite chapter of the whole story, but still just well worth playing. I can't wait to experience it again next year. It's going
to
be great.
You know what I'd like to see from Nintendo? I'd like to issue a challenge to them right now. They released a game. I want to get the year right on this. Back in 1986. In North America, it came out in March of 1987. It is Nintendo's Pro Wrestling. You got to choose between Fighter Hayabusa, Giant Panther, Kin Korn Karn, King Slender, Starman, and the Amazon. I would love to see an updated version of that game with just those wrestlers, but done like to the highest level of what the Switch can deliver.
Oh, this could be fun.
Like, same ring. Give me the same ring with the go fight on the apron. And, like, everything about it. But make it look better.
Corn car.
Yeah, the Starman did the claw. Oh, that was such a great game. And I would love to see an updated version of it that just is, like, just make it an improvement on what's there and not, like, don't try and change it again. Don't get fancy. Like, if I go to see a live version of a band playing, I don't want tricks. I want to hear what I heard on the album. Like a little, not a lot, a little.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm going to put over something I believe I put over before, which is John Cena's TikTok account. If you don't follow him there, the running thing he's been doing, I think for a few years now, is whoever is recording him on the phone, he's in the middle of doing something else. And then he turns and realizes, he becomes camera aware and turns to the camera. And recently he was being interviewed about his return to WWE. And then at the end of his answer, he turns and realizes the camera there is there, and I respect his commitment to that bit, so check him out there.
He does love a commitment to the bit almost as much as he does not love a commitment to Nikki Bella, but
correct.
Like, if you look at his Instagrams and his Twitter, is like just so much of it was just like his Twitter is just like these broad philosophical statements about like life and advice that he would give to people. And if you look at his Instagram page, so much of it was always just like a picture of Kota Ibushi. Is he coming to WWE? No, but John sure did want to share a picture of Kota Ibushi that day, didn't he?
Sure. Yeah. Oh, Lord. That does it for this episode of Tights and Fights. This week, your hosts were Daniel Radford, along with me, Hal Loveland, and Julian Burrell, sitting in briefly. The SAG-AFTRA negotiating committee will be sitting down with the AMPTP on Monday, October 2nd. That we just got official word on that. And listen, AMPTP, if I could just say to you, Don't try and lowball us. We know the deal you gave to the writers. It was a really good and fair deal. Congratulations to our union brothers and sisters in the Writers Guild. Do the actors, and then let's do the United Auto Workers too. Let's make sure these people in unions are getting paid their
and the video
fair
game
share.
Workers are going on strike at, too.
Oh yeah, we're gonna be striking against the video game company soon. That's the same union. We're just hopping strikes.
Yeah,
well, we got this one settled. Now
we're like, yay! All right, now trade out your signs, everybody. Grab your controllers, and we're going across the street.
We did one. Now the first strike is for our future livelihood. The second one is for our safety and protection. So there you go. Our producer is the American. Is there anything you want to plug, Julian?
Yes, actually, yes. Please. Oh, I've got something to plug on Friday, October. Let me turn around and look at this calendar right behind me. Yeah, Friday, October 6th. Max Fun is live streaming a little something with some of the executive board of the co-op, where we're going to answer a bunch of questions about what it means to be a co-op versus what we were doing before. Mm. I will be moderating it, so I'm going to be doing my best to be entertaining and having fun with Stacy, with Gabe, with Kevin, who work behind the scenes on other on the shows and on the business end of the co-op. So you can come by. It's a live stream's available to everybody. You don't have to be a Max Fun member. If you have any questions, we will totally answer them. We're going to try and keep it focused to the co-op and things of that nature. But if we have time, I'm sure we'll answer some questions about shows and, you know, some fun things that we want to do down the road, because we're going to be there for an hour. So yeah, come on by. The link will be shared across Max Fun's various social media accounts. It'll be shared on the Tights and Fights social media accounts. It should be a great old time. I hope you guys can come on Friday.
That's right. That man you just heard is our producer, the American drag pun, Julian Burrell. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music. We are eternally putting him over for that. Thank you to all the Max Fun members that keep this show going. Your support means the world to us and is why you still hear us every week. Why don't you keep up with us all week long? You don't have to just listen to us for this hour. You can follow us on our social media channels. Those are in the show notes. And you can find our Tights and Fights WrestleMania shirt at maxfunstore.com and wear us on your body. And it is a wonderful experience. That Ice Cream Christmas shirt is the most comfortable t-shirt I own. That is not hyperbole. That is the truth. It is so great. We'll be back next week for more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Yeah. Here comes the pain.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported directly
by you.